Afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Rules Committee. It's March 5th, 2012, and it is 4:04 p.m. And we are going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 1552. Cheyenne, you want to invite Sean up then, or are you going to kind of just give us a little bit of view where we're at?
I'm happy to summarize the measure, Mr. Chair. Chair Kotek. Senate Bill 1552A requires a beneficiary under a residential trustee to notify and enter into mediation with a homeowner for the purpose of agreeing to foreclosure avoidance measure. It directs the Attorney General to appoint mediation service provider to coordinate mediation program, directs Attorney General to enter into agreement to pay mediation service provider from proceeds of fee on notice of default, directs Attorney General to set mediation fee schedule by rule, specifies homeowner and beneficiary share the cost of mediation and homeowner's portion not exceed $200, requires mediator to complete and provide certificate of compliance to homeowner, beneficiary, and Attorney General, requires beneficiary to record certificate with county before undertaking foreclosure, allows homeowner at risk but not yet in default to request mediation. Increases to 180 days the amount of time between notice of foreclosure sale and date of sale on residential trust deed, requires homeowner to be notified of sale. Postponement requires a $100 fee upon beneficiary or trustee filing notice of default, exempts trustees and beneficiaries that have undertaken less than 250 foreclosures in the preceding 12 months, declares an emergency as effective on passage with an operative date that's 91 days after the effective date. There are amendments that were just distributed, the A25s, and I just haven't had time to summarize those.
Okay. Sean, would you come up and just kind of walk us through what you just crafted for us?
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Kotek, Co-Chair Olson. My name is Sean Brennan. I'm from Legislative Council. The A25 amendments that you have in front of you, how much of the history do you want me to actually go into and the difference between this and
go
the
A22s? Go ahead, because some of us are, you know, a little void of that.
So okay.
That'd be good.
Basically, the A25 amendments had to do with primarily the timing on terms of who is exempt from having to file the effort to enter into mediation with the grantor and who is exempt from having to pay the surcharge to fund the actual mediation program. And in the A25s, the language that changes between the earlier versions of the amendments, the A22s, which I think have been circulated, lines 7 through 22 on the first page, lines 1 through 5 on the second page, lines 15 through 30 on page 3, and lines 1 through 5 on page 4. Briefly, what those do is that it expands the exemption available to people who would ordinarily be required to enter into mediation to individuals, financial institutions as defined in ORS 706-008, mortgage bankers as they are defined in ORS 86A-100, or consumer finance folks who are licensed under Chapter 725 and defined as licensees in 725-010. And the basic idea there is they are exempt if they provide a sworn affidavit to the Attorney General that states that in the preceding calendar year, if, for example, we're trying to file this today, we would be talking about the calendar year 2011, they did not commence or cause an affiliate of theirs or an agent of theirs to commence any kind of a foreclosure proceeding under nonjudicial foreclosure statutes or under judicial foreclosure more than 250 in the preceding calendar year. And they have two options in which they can actually do this filing of affidavits. They can do it as a blanket filing for the entire year on January 31st of each year, with this year being an exception because, of course, the bill is not yet in effect. They'll need to do that within, I think it's 30 days after the operative date, which is 91 days after the effective date, to be able to claim the exemption for this calendar year. And then January 31st of 2013, if they wanted to demand the exemption for 2013. Alternatively, the individual or the financial institution, mortgage banker, whoever, can file the affidavit at the time they actually record or present for recording a notice of default at the county recorder's office. The similar language actually appears in the section that talks about the applicability of the $100 surcharge for county recorders. That, again, is on page 3, lines 15 through 30, and page 4 on lines 1 through 5 there. The basic idea is, again, they'll be needing to file an affidavit. They can do that either on January 31st of the year or in any year which they actually want to claim an exemption or at the time they actually file the notice of default. So in both instances, they are able to exempt themselves by filing this affidavit.
May I speak to that?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. First of all, Sean, thank you for the quick work on the turnaround and the Dash 25s. In the original bill that came over to us from the Senate, it did speak to the focus of the statutory changes here to look at those organizations, institutions doing more than 250 foreclosures in a year. What we were trying to do in the 25s was to clarify how that reporting would work if you were under 250 foreclosures, so trying to give some options there. So that's the how it differs from the Senate bill that came over to us.
Committee member, Representative Holy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sean, I just wanted to get a clarification from the original bill and what was just read here a little bit ago about the amount of time between the foreclosure sale and the date of the sale, the notice of the sale and the sale. It's not 180 days. It remains at 120 days, is my understanding. And now there's a notice of mediation that's 60 days in front of the 120 days.
Co-Chair Kotek, Co-Chair Holson, and Representative Holvey, if you give me about 2 minutes, I'll be able to figure out exactly where we are. There's been so many of these amendments, I don't remember exactly which of those happened. So I know that the actual notice of sale is required under ORS 740 as amended here. I don't remember whether that amendment actually made it into 825 or not. I didn't look at that portion of the amendment. However, in the original bill that is there under Section 7 of the bill on page 6. And it's basically lines 41 through 45 on page 6 and on the next page as well. The basic idea there is if the entity or the person is foreclosing a residential trustee, they actually must mail it 180 days in advance of the sale date. But I know that at least there were a couple of amendments,
Mr. Chair,
that dealt with that.
Representative Garrett.
I understood Representative Holvey's question. I think the language he's looking for is on page 6.
Page 6 of the amendment?
Of the 825 amendments.
Okay,
In the middle of the page, it refers to mailing the notice of mediation,
yes,
at least 60 days before the notice of sale.
Thank you, Representative Garrett. That's correct. In fact, I did not go that far into the amendment when I changed this particular language, so I didn't remember the location of that.
There it is.
So the answer to my question was yes.
The answer to your question is yes. Thank you, Representative Foley.
Anyone else? Okay. Co-Chair Kotek.
Are you entertaining general comments on the Dash 25? Is that what you're doing at the moment? I'm sorry. I didn't know if Mr. Brennan wanted to walk through anything else. Or
do you want to? Are you feeling comfortable with what you've shared with where we're going with the Dash 25s?
Co-Chair Olson, yes, I'm comfortable in the sense that I've given you the difference between that and the Dash 822s, which I believe were circulated. If there are other questions about the 822s or any other amendments that preceded that, then I will try and answer those questions, absolutely.
Okay. Doesn't look like it. Okay. Can I have a motion then for the Dash 25s?
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the Dash 8.
I'm sorry. Let me back up here. Need to have a motion to suspend the rules first for revenue and fiscal.
Mr. Chair, I move we suspend the rules for the purposes of not having the fiscal and revenue impact statements to move this bill forward.
Representative Hovey moves that we suspend the rules move forward with Senate Bill 1552 without the impact statements from revenue and fiscal. Is there any objection? Okay, any discussion? Okay.
Mr. Chair, we do have those statements from the Senate bill in our file. It is my understanding there's no substantial change in that by these amendments, and I did like that on the record.
Co-chairs Olson and Kotek and Representative Berger. I believe that's certainly the case. There's nothing substantive between this change between the A engrossed bill and the A25s with regard to any fiscal impact, so far as I know. There is still in the original bill, there's the foreclosure mediation fund, which has a fiscal impact, and that is carried forward in the A25s and is not significantly changed. What has changed really is just the timing of the affidavit that exempts the people who would be required to pay the surcharge that goes into that fund.
And the Mr. Chair, by way of clarification, the A22s, does the 25 doesn't replace the 22s, do they? They do completely replace it. Okay. So the 22s are off the table. It's just the 25s.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. That helps.
Okay. Seeing no objections, so moved. Representative Holby.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the A25 amendments dated March 5th, 2012 to Senate Bill 1552.
Representative Holby moves the dash A25s to Senate Bill 1552 dated 3/15/2012. Any discussion?
If I could, just briefly for the record,
Chair,
Mr. Chair. Just to clarify for the public, you know, we had two Senate bills that came over, 1552 and 1564. The dash A25 includes the protections on dual track protections that were in 1564. It has an enforcement mechanism that allows for actual damages incurred by the homeowner, reasonable attorney fees to the prevailing plaintiff. So those sections of 1564 are in the A25. We did talk about an additional 60-day notice, pre-notice of default notice. I don't know if that makes any sense, but a more of a pre-notice for distressed homeowners. And but it still maintains the right to mandatory mediation, maintains the protections for dual track that were in 1564, and provides an enforcement mechanism. Thank you, Mr. Kircher.
Okay. Okay. Motion has been made. Christy, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Barnhart.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. We're on the amendment.
Dash 25.
Thank you. I vote yes.
Representative Byer.
Aye.
Representative Esebel.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Excuse me.
Representative Garrett.
Aye.
Representative Winger.
Aye.
Co-Meister Berger.
Aye.
Co-Meister Holby.
Aye.
Co-Chair Kotek.
Aye.
Aye. Dash 25s are moved into the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1552 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Holby moves Senate Bill 1552 as amended with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Garrett.
Mr. Chair, I just want to express some appreciation to people on both sides of the aisle who came together late in session and bombarded Legislative Council with amendment upon amendment in an effort to achieve a compromise on this bill, even as recently as about an hour and a half ago. So it was a long time getting here, but I think this is very significant legislation that's going to really help some people, and I'm very pleased that we're able to do this on the last day. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, any further? Okay. Christy, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative Byer.
Aye.
Representative
Esquivel. Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Excused.
Representative Garrett.
Aye.
Representative Winger.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Berger.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Holby.
Aye.
Co-Chair Kotek.
Aye.
Co-Chair Olson.
Aye. Senate Bill 1552 as amended passes. And let's see, Cheyenne, you're going to have Representative Holby and Representative Wisna as co-carriers on the bill. Okay, with that, we are adjourned.